This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Lucky you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And I must be Phil.
You've got to be Phil. Yeah. And we've got Tristan sitting over there in the corner.
We have. He's been a bad boy.
He's been a bad boy sitting in the corner. Yes.
Thank you very much to Tim for the news. Thank you for Scotty for the morning show. And to Lance and Julia at the front desk.
We've got a great line of topics lined up today, Chris.
It's the usual potpourri.
Well, that's a very good word, because potpourri, it's like spring coming up.
And it is. It's like a little posy of flowers and beautiful, beautiful scented smell. Things. Mm. Yes.
And it is spelled potpourri.
Potpourri, yeah. Oh,
thank you, Phil. Yes.
And, my wording.
And what would some of the flowers be in the potpourri, do you
think?
Well,
one of the things that... I don't know whether it would be in the potpourri, because I'm not sure whether the smell would be pungent enough, and that's what we call our national floral emblem.
Wattle, we call it.
Well, we could call it wattle if you want to.
Well, I wasn't suggesting, I was asking.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Oh, always a contrarian.
Yes,
this one.
Contrarian.
No, I'm not.
Contrary Mary from the dairy, yes.
I came here for an argument. No, you didn't.
Yeah, well, it was on September the 1st in 1988, the golden wattle was officially proclaimed the floral emblem of Australia. Yeah, you know why?
Well, I've got a feeling that you're going to tell me.
No, you should be able to tell me, because somewhere in Australia there is wattle blooming all year round. Any time of the year there is wattle blooming.
Wow.
And it's green and gold.
And it's green and gold, which is our colours used to be red and blue.
Yeah.
But that red, white, blue, I beg your pardon, but then they changed it to the green and gold of the wattle colours.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yes, so any time during the year in Australia somewhere
there
will be wattle. And it's a wonderful little acacia bloom.
Yeah.
I think there's somewhere else in the world they have acacias.
They have them in South Africa and some parts of Asia, of course.
There are some feral acacias which actually go rampant in the top end of Australia.
And you should always carry a spare in case you run out.
Acacia run out. It's all right.
Now, it's too early in the show.
We promised the listener that we weren't going to have any more.
No, we promised we wouldn't do your horrible ones.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, because our program is actually, we're supposed to be talking about gay history, joy history here on the show with gay icons, dicons and bicons.
And sometimes we do.
And we do.
Yes.
We will be today.
We've got a good one today.
We've got three good ones today. At least we'll be doing in depth
for you to listen forward to.
And there's various events that have happened around this time that are sort of still echoing around. One of the things that on this day, what happened was, the Australian flag is flown for the first time.
Yep.
On the 3rd of September, 1901.
You know where it was flown?
Once again, I've got the feeling you're going to tell me.
In Melbourne.
It was in Melbourne.
In the exhibition buildings?
Top of the exhibition building.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they had a competition, did they not?
They did, and six people, I think it was, that won out of 220,000 entries or something or other.
Yeah, and I've got a feeling that they actually all felt that they were going to have the same
They had basically the same design, so that's why they chose that there were these six entries that were very, very close to the to what they actually chose in the finish. Yeah, but I still think that we need to start changing the flag. I really do.
Canada did their flag. They changed from a flag with the Union flag in the corner to the maple leaf.
Yeah, but you know they changed that overnight. They had no referendum, no nothing. The Parliament said this is what it's going to be, and that was what it was. People woke up in the following morning, and it was the red maple leaf on the...
You mean it? A government made a decision?
No, nothing. The Parliament just decided that was what it was going to be, and that was what it is.
They governed.
Oh.
We only read about that sort of stuff here.
Heavens.
We have a topic of the day, government.
Well, I noticed the Kiwis are... Oh, sorry, the New Zealanders are having a look at whether they should go...
Did you see any of the representations on the television? They were very, very colourful and very, very nice.
They were, but once again, the black fern... was featured there, a Kiwi was featured, and the Southern Cross was featured.
They stole that.
Well, all the Southern Hemisphere shares the Southern Cross.
One question already. Gentlemen, always a delight. What will occur to the flag when we become a republic?
Well,
something would have to change then, I would say. Well, but then again, you see, look at Hawaii. What state of Hawaii has the Union Jack in the corner?
Representing their history.
The Union flag, it's a Union flag. It's not a jack until it's flown on a ship. That's when it becomes the Union Jack.
Well, if I was hanging off the back of a ship, I'd be pretty well jacked too.
Jacked off.
It'd be cold.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
People say Union Jack at any stage, but it's not. It's only a Union flag until it's on a ship.
People say the Botanical Gardens too, but we don't shoot them.
Yeah, that's right.
We should.
Yeah, we should, because it's the Botanic Gardens.
Like people who say H.
There's a controversy going on about that, isn't there?
Yeah. Heartbreak, make me a dancer. Here's Sophie Ellis-Bexa here on Joy.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Yes, and we've had another message in while we've been listening to music and playing those.
Popping around the studio here.
Yes, and it says, great to see AFL promote the OK It's Gay campaign with Melbourne Uni football team wearing rainbow jerseys on the weekend. Great initiative. Yes, it was a great initiative, and it's good to see. That's wonderful. We should be there. And I believe they're going to have a game between St Kilda and who was the other side? I know what St Kilda's one of them.
Where they're going to have Essendon was mentioned once.
Essendon, I think, was mentioned at one stage, yes, to have a gay football game next year. So that's going to be fun too.
Well, not a gay football game.
Not a gay football game, but recognition of the gay community.
And it's been recently, there's been a lot of promotion for the women's football teams as well.
Well, let's face it, the women are winning more than the men are as far as world championships go. Have a listen. Cricket, netball, all sorts of stuff. They're absolutely brilliant. That cricket team is so superb. They're wonderful. And they won the Football Cup and amazing. And they don't get enough publicity.
On the 31st of August 1997, Princess of Wales Diana was killed in a car crash in Paris.
Yeah.
And by this stage, Diana had actually separated from Prince Charles.
She was actually divorced by then, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she might well have been.
Yeah, she was divorced by then.
And she was being chased by the paparazzi.
Yeah, and it turned out to be that the driver of the car had so much alcohol and drugs in him that he shouldn't have been driving the car in the first place, which was one of the things that they found out on the inquest, because he was killed as well as the other people in the car.
Mm.
The only one that wasn't killed was the fellow wearing the seatbelt. So it shows you the effect of wearing a seatbelt when you're driving a car, doesn't it?
Yeah, the sole survivor of that crash. And it was in a tunnel going under the Seine in Paris. And, of course, when you have one of those accidents, you bounce from side to side, up and down. You're contained.
Yeah.
It's not as though you bounce across a gutter and into a park or a paddock or something.
You would hit the roof and the sidewalls and everything if you were.
It doesn't matter how fancy your unnamed German car brand is.
No, that's right.
Still a bunch of metal.
But the world actually reacted quite amazingly for the death of this princess.
Well, she was such an iconic woman, you know, a beautiful woman to boot. You know, she was just gorgeous to look at. And she had such humanity in her. You know, she was one of the first people to hug a person, one of the men with AIDS, you know, and she just went up to him and gave him a hug.
Yeah.
And it just sort of proved to other people that there was nothing wrong with hugging somebody that had AIDS. Yeah. You weren't going to get it, you know.
Well,
and because then they were just sort of, you know, it was just terrible. There was the stigma and everything attached to being with AIDS. But Diana did a hell of a lot of good work in sort of taking away that stigma.
Well, she probably didn't have much more of a job profile that she could do. She was in charity work for the royal family and for her own purposes.
But she was also led the landmines thing, getting rid of the landmines. She was everywhere looking for landmines that had been planted with these thousands of destructive bloody things that people decide to put in the ground.
She led it the right way, though. She did it through publicity rather than going out with a big stick poking in the ground.
But she would go out to the minefields as well. There's been photographs of her in the minefields, but they would keep her in the safe place. I mean, to say they're not going to let her go wandering off into the place where they had.
Just showing her doing some good work.
Yeah. But she was there promoting
it. And her funeral was held on the 6th of September, and she was buried with a set of rosary beads, a gift she received from Mother Teresa, who died the week after Diana.
That's right, yes.
And
I think it was Mother Teresa's. Would have been Mother Teresa's birthday last week or the week before. But they buried her on the island in the family property so that people couldn't get to the gravesite.
No.
Because they didn't want people to go and take parts of it or anything. So it's in the family property on an island. Well, you have to row across to the island.
TV showed the great outpouring of grief and everything for her, with all the flowers piled up against the railings of Buck House, and then the funeral procession was totally incredible. And it was very moving. But as I was saying to Scott earlier on, Joy was broadcasting at that stage, and someone had been monitoring on the internet the BBC news feed, and they posted this story, and we broke in to our music show and whatever it was, and we brought it to the gay people of Melbourne first, well before the ordinary radio news outlets came on with it. And totally incredible. And we had a picture of Diana in the studios there for about a year afterwards.
She was very, very fond of the gay community, was Diana. She didn't have any qualms about being seen with gay
she
people.
She did have problems with one queen, though.
Yes.
The queen.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And she didn't show herself to be much of a person either when Diana died.
No, there was a hell of a lot of thing going on there because she was up in Balmoral at the time. Didn't want to
and
come
they wouldn't
home.
Lower the flags. They were sitting there behind all their protocols. You know, the country was bleeding to death and they were sitting up there sipping their tea.
And, of course, she had two lovely boys.
Well, Harry and Wills and Harry.
Will is now in line.
Yeah, he's...
And Harry, little red-headed ragamuffin scallywag.
He's getting further down the line as the more children.
But he's relaxing into his adult role.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as we say, people tend to mature once they hit 30.
Both of those young men are doing a hell of a lot of work for charity as well.
Yeah.
They do a lot of work for charity.
So
Harry's in Africa at the moment and was on TV this morning in a picture showing him hugging an adult lion.
Oh, right.
Who had been...
suitably drugged.
Yeah,
exactly.
But at least he didn't kill it like that other idiot.
No, they were putting a tracking device on this one.
When we come back, because you've got to stay tuned, we'll be talking about Freddie Mercury.
Speaking of Queens, why
don't we have a piece of music from him?
Okay, let's have music to lead into the
story.
Now,
look, this is a very, very sick title of song that's been provided to us to play today. Well, I'm sorry.
It's a great song.
Well, you can make your own judgment for the title. I'm sorry. Here we go, you're on Joy.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cakes, she says.
Joy.
With Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Thanks very much for being with us today. Lovely day.
Yes, it's quite pleasant out there, wasn't it? Now, we just played Freddie Mercury.
We did. And... What one of his earlier but more gentle songs, and he was a showman. Wasn't he flamboyant?
He was a little bit flamboyant.
What do you mean a little bit? Hello?
He never went over the top.
Born on the 5th of September 1946, and he died in, of course, 1991.
He was born in Zanzibar, when it was still called Zanzibar. Now it's called Tanzania.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
They like the zzzs in the name, do they?
Over there, yes. He was actually Parsi, born in a Parsi family. They're an Indian
caste.
A caste, yeah, the Parsis, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, then, yeah. But he did his education in UK.
Oh, yes, yes. He was basically brought up in the UK. But he was very musical. He started studying the piano at about 6 or something or other, and I have a CD at home where he's playing the piano, and he's absolutely brilliant. You listen to it being played and you think, who's that? And it's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, wow. Mm.
He's a very talented man.
But you can hear from his music how musical he is.
But you've also got to remember he had two great guys with him.
The
guitarists were absolutely superb. They were, I can't remember their names. I should know it, but I can't remember.
But when you listen to that song that we just heard, you can hear the guitarists there. They're wailing and they're just not... three chords and the truth at the back of the song. They are really contributing. And it was a different sort of pop music. It was its own flavour.
It was just so good. They could do sort of almost anything with the way they did it, you know.
But it took them a while to get started. They were out here for, I think, one of the Sunbury
festivals,
rock festivals, and they were booed off stage.
Oh, that doesn't surprise.
Because we're probably waiting for Skyhooks or somebody to come along.
Yeah.
So they had a bit of a rough start.
Yeah, but boy, once they got going, they didn't look
back.
Have you
seen footage of, or in fact, Freddie himself working the crowd at Wembley Stadium?
Oh,
80,000 people just on every single word he says.
Yeah,
and he was reported in the press, Phil, by, and they described him as posing, pouting, posturing, tart.
It's almost like Mick Jagger, isn't it? Posing, pouting, and posturing.
Yeah. Somebody behaving like that at a rock concert on stage, that's prerequisite.
Well, in another newspaper, he was reported as being a scene queen, not afraid to publicly express his gayness, but
he also
unwilling
had,
to analyse or justify his lifestyle.
But he also had women.
Yeah.
He was with Mary Austin for 6 years.
Yeah, but,
But
Freddie was, they reckon that he was basically saying to the world, I am what I am. And so what?
That's
fair enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
We should all be that way.
Yeah.
So there you go. I am what I am. So what?
Yeah, so
what? Yeah. But
actually, Freddie was a AIDS-related death as well.
Yes.
And he didn't let anybody know that he was had the AIDS virus until very shortly before he died.
That's right. And it was a bronchopneumonia that was brought on by AIDS. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was posthumously awarded the Brit Award for Outstanding Contribution to British Music.
He must have awarded a lot of money for the tax department too.
Oh, indeed. And star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And wow. So a wonderful legacy. Wonderful legacy. Thank you very much, Freddie.
Brian May was one of the...
Yeah.
Brian May was the guitarist in that, wasn't he? Was
guitarist or drummer?
Oh, I can't remember.
But isn't it dreadful that some of the brighter stars burn out so soon?
Well, Janis Joplin and a few of the,
Michael Hutchins.
Michael Hutchins, yeah. He was only a young guy, Australian guy, yeah.
Although Freddie made it beyond that horrible age of 27 where a lot of them seem to depart.
That's right, yeah. What are you doing, Gabby?
Well, we've got someone else has had a birthday around about this time. Born on the 1st of September, 1939.
It's her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday tomorrow to American actress, comedian, writer, singer and producer, Miss Jean Lily Tomlin. Better known to us, possibly through the characterisation of...
Ernestine?
Ernestine, indeed.
Oh. And we might hear from her soonishly.
Here she is. She's here.
We're in the office.
One ringy dingy. Is this Mr. Hoover? Mr. Jedgar Hoover? Good. Then I have reached the party to whom I am speaking. Mr. Hoover, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. It is my duty, Mr. Hoover, to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument.
And that is our Lily Tomlin. Well, ours, because she was such a brilliant character performer in lots of her guises.
Oh yeah, she was just but she was not only just a comedian. She's a very good actor. She's been in some great shows.
In West Wing, you told me.
West Wing. She was one of the secretaries or something, rather than West Wing to the president. She was. That was absolutely wonderful.
Just so long as she wasn't on the switchboard.
Yeah.
Just see that in West Wing. One ringy dingy.
Can I just interrupt for a minute? We did find out who the rest of Queen were. Thank you to John. And it was Brian May was on the guitar, Roger Taylor was on the drums, and John Deacon was on the bass. That's who it was. So there we go. Back to Lily.
She was.
Thank you.
She came to light in a very early TV show. Phil, you're going to remind me what it was?
That'd be Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Yes. And
which may have affected me at an early age.
Well, they were wonderful with their one-line quips, and they would just feed like Phil Gordon and me. We feed on each other.
I think Phil would probably made a very good script writer for Laughing with his one-liner quips.
Sock it to me.
Sock it to me. Yeah.
But she has never hidden her gayness, although she's never sold it.
But as she said, she never had a press conference to announce it.
Yeah.
And she didn't need to. And she'd been with her partner since 1971, Jane Wagner.
Yeah.
And they finally got married in 2013 when they were able to be married in, I think it was Massachusetts at that stage.
Yeah, so from the age of about 30, she was sort of out and about and doing her thing. She lived to that little statement, I am what I am.
Did you know that she was offered $500,000 to be Ernestine in a commercial?
Oh, yes.
And she declined the offer. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't let Ernestine become commercialised. Could you imagine what the commercial would be for that with Ernestine, for goodness sake?
There's so few phone companies in America, though.
Yeah.
Why would they need to advertise?
Yeah, that's right.
The country's made of phone companies.
Yeah. But she was such a good actor too. She did in so many great movies. You know, she was with Dolly Parton and...
She was with Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, yeah.
Her and Bette played a pair of identical twins who were switched at birth in this 1989 comedy film, Big Business. I can't say that I ever saw that.
Business was a very funny movie. I remember seeing that because I liked both of the women that were in it, Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin. Yeah.
But it's incredible that that woman and her partner seem to have lived through life with no controversy, whereas in New South Wales, what have they done with that
Gaby baby?
Indeed, they have banned it from being shown in schools.
Yeah.
Hello, it's a doco.
Documentary, Phil, that you were saying earlier that it was done by the girl that used to go to school, the woman that used to go to school there.
The director of the film went to the school that ended up banning the movie, and she was sent to that school by her two mothers because the school was so progressive. Something's gone wrong.
So she goes back. Yeah, but see,
it would be depending
on who was the principal. You see, at the principal at the time when she was going to school there was probably a very forward-thinking person, but when she went back there as an adult, they weren't that very forward-thinking.
Well, I think there's probably bits that we don't know about yet because the school had agreed
to show the film,
and the director wanted all school students in New South Wales to see it for free before it comes to the big screen. So how we've gone from wanting everybody to see it to not letting anybody see it is really quite interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Victorian government have jumped up because we're better than New South Wales.
Well, yes, yeah.
And we'll show it to everybody.
But I think Daniel Andrews is a much more open sort of person too. I think he just realises that the gay community are here and they're going to stay here. There's nothing you can do about it, so he might as well accept it.
It almost seems weird to see such a level of homophobia come out of Sydney.
Yeah, it is, with Mardi Gras and all the rest of it.
Better than that.
Yeah, well, as Flo has just texted in and said to us, a lot of people are happy with their flamboyancy, but a lot of people are likewise enjoy the privacy of their role and their position in society.
I have a message here from a listener who has that in mind when they say, I admire people who also don't need to be open and respect their privacy. Your identity shouldn't define you. And that's quite true too. And we've also had a membership received from Philip at Williams Landing. So Philip's joined the Joy family. Isn't that lovely? Thank you, William.
And it's nice to know that Williams Landing because he flies helicopters.
Yes, he does.
Thank you indeed. No. We don't do that.
No.
But talking about New South Wales schools and what they can and can't do, and our own position here is that our Premier has banned from schools, not Gaby Baby, but the religious instruction during school hours.
So he should, I'm afraid.
Where are you going to do your brainwashing now?
Oh.
You can do it at lunchtime, before or after school, but not during classes.
Sir, maybe on Sundays. It's Sunday school.
Well, wouldn't that
be interesting and
why
different?
Why would they call it that?
I don't know.
Well, if the Chinese boys can go to Chinese school on the weekend.
So can people that want to get their religious grounding. But I agree with what Daniel Andrews, or the education minister, has brought in, which is a comparison between the different religions and the ethnicities of different people. It's made it an overarching story of the whole of the way religion has...
So what I was taught in religious instruction, which they don't call it, they changed it to RI.
That's RI.
It's a bit like KFC. They didn't want to be fried.
Yeah.
But so we were told about the one true God.
Yeah.
And how convenient it was that his name is God.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these other religions and their gods are called all sorts of things. But we really, as Christians, lucked out because our God's called God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Jewish God is God, isn't he?
I don't know. Yeah. We weren't told about that.
He can be Jehovah.
Jehovah, yeah. But he's got several
Yahweh.
Names. Yeah, Yahweh and all the rest of it, yeah.
That's right.
And he had a boy, Jesus.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that I think it's Malaysia. You can't actually refer to the Christian. There are some Christians here who are going to say, well, okay, let's use Allah as the only name for God. But the Muslims here said, no, we want exclusive use, thank you, of that. So, you try and cross over.
Yeah.
At any rate.
Yeah. It's a very interesting subject, but I would recommend a show that's been on SBS called Sex and the West. It is.
Had to lower the show.
No, it isn't. It isn't low. It is a very interesting thing about marriage and where marriage started and where it's going and what's happened to it. It is very clever, and people that are against gay marriage should watch it.
So you should see it on Catch Up. Catch Up. You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
We've had a message from our correspondent.
Our prolific correspondent.
Wonderful correspondent. Saying, great that Tim Wilson wrote an article on that stupid paper condemning the decision. That's about Gaby Baby up in...
Yeah.
I did read that article and I thought it was very well done from him too.
Sometimes I've had a bit of a worry about our Mr. Tim Wilson, but he's coming good.
He also wrote a very interesting article about the Border Force debacle.
Oh,
it was a very interesting article.
Of course, Victoria's got their minister now for against discrimination.
I forget the exact title. I can't remember her title. Yes, she's been with her partner for many, many years and has a little girl, and they have the other partner has a boy. And
And they were featured in Sunday Age as well.
Yeah,
so
very good article.
It was excellent article. Mm. So there we are. But today we're going to be talking for the next few moments about someone born on the 1st of September 1864. Roger David Casement.
Yes, he was Irish but brought up in England, and he's described as the father of the 20th century human rights investigations. He was awarded the honours in 1905 for the Casement Report on the Congo and knighted in 1911 for the important investigation of human rights abuses in Peru. He was a humanitarian man, actually, and he was very concerned about the way people were treated.
That's right. Well, he joined the British Foreign Service, the Foreign Office, the British Colonial Service, first serving as a clerk in the British West Africa, and then which became Gambia, and then he was appointed as the British consul in the eastern part of the French Congo, and the Belgians also had a bit of a colony there as well, and they were setting up and exporting rubber and other resources, and apparently the people in charge there were guilty of enslavement, mutilation and torture of the natives on these rubber plantations. Mm. And he, as a Foreign Office representative, saw all these things and started reporting them back. And that was in 1901. And then in 1906, the Foreign Office sent him to Brazil in South America. And that's when he suddenly discovered that there was rubber quantities being ripped out of the jungles there. And once again, there was starvation, severe physical abuse, rape of women and branding and things like this with the local natives who were
the local indigenous
ones who were collecting the gum sap.
Yeah, the local indigenous community were absolutely used basically as slaves, and they got nothing for it. And that was their country. Something similar happened everywhere else, that they seem to go into the colonisation of these places, you know.
And it's incredible that people, even only one century ago, 100 years ago, were still in that mindset that some people are more equal than others.
Mm. Yeah, but he went back after the Boer War. He was influenced by the Boer War, and he became an anti-imperialist, and he went to live in Ireland and got involved in the battles between the Irish Free State and the Union. They finished up, they tried him for treason. The British tried him for treason.
Well, because part away after his adventures as consuls, he actually went back to Ireland and found that there was some nationalism that he felt he could support.
That's right, yeah.
Because Ireland was sort of divided north and south.
North and south, yeah.
The north part was the Englishy bit, and he fought for their independence, as
that's
it were.
Right, yeah.
So his motives were good, but he actually sidled up to the Germans of the time and said, well, help me out.
That was 1917, actually, right in the middle of time when the British were at war with the Germans in the First World War.
And he asked them to supply him with some weaponry.
That's right.
And he was going to lead a revolt against the North and liberate Ireland.
Mm.
But this got fed back to the English, and the English said, ooh.
Put him up on a treasonable charge, and they finished up hanging him.
Well, yes.
But after they...
But
after,
part of the reason for setting him up was they did what a lot of politicians do. They dug and they found dirt.
Mm. They found out he was gay. He was a homosexual.
Oh, no.
Yes, he was a homosexual. So that was another reason why he could be hung. That was their reasoning, because he was gay and he was also a traitor to the cause. Mm. He could be hung.
Mm. There was Black Diaries, so-called, and people are not sure whether actually he wrote them or someone else has written them, but because they were only discovered after his death, so there was no verification.
Yeah.
Or they didn't think of comparing handwriting or whatever. But his homosexual life was almost entirely out of sight and disconnected from his career and political work. And,
I tell you what, he was a very good-looking bloke, and so was his boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
In the little photo there, they were quite a stunning-looking couple, actually.
It's quite funny that a federal government would charge somebody with treason, because they're responsible for national parks, which have trees and plants and shrubs and grass and all sorts of things in them. So, double standards.
Thanks, Phil. You could bring enlightenment into anything.
Well, I didn't want to sort of leave the story there with hangings and treasons.
No,
and
that's right. Yeah, but the tree, yeah, they're full
thank
of treason,
you very much. Yes.
Greens,
oh, yeah. Golly gosh. But yes, people do dig for dirt and then use it against you. It makes you wonder what's happening with all this into the interweb and your phone calls and everything, the metadata and when that's going to come back to bite us all on the bum.
I saw a fellow on the television that and he asked for his metadata from Telstra.
Yeah.
And he got 20,000 entries or something or other, and that was for about a fortnight or a week or something or other about where he'd been and what he'd been doing.
I think we can feel pretty safe about our metadata because there's just so much of it.
There's so much of it, though. They couldn't. They'd have to have a supercomputer.
Most of it is meaningless. And
yeah. They need a supercomputer.
Sleep well at night.
Oh, all right then. Thank you. On the 2nd of September 1666, a great fire in London commenced.
The devil done it.
Oh, indeed. 666. Yes.
I want to point out this was before I was born, so yeah. I didn't do it.
You didn't done it, Daddy. Okay.
Over 13,000 houses and 89 churches were destroyed, rendered 100,000 people homeless, and destroyed dozens of significant buildings, including halls, prisons, bridges, and government buildings. Oh, sounds like, you know, urban renewal.
A lot of rats homeless too.
Well, funny you should mention that, Phil, and I think that was the break for the extermination of the Great Plague, which was being carried by the rats.
Yeah, but
everything was great. The Great Fire, the Great Plague.
Well, it was in a fireplace. It was a great.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was pretty good.
The plague killed hundreds of thousands of people anyway, you know. But you could understand how it burnt, because the houses would have only been straw and a bit
timber.
Of mud or something, and a bit of timber, and they would have had straw and walls, you know, with a bit of plaster.
Place was doomed then. If the fire didn't get them, the big bad wolf would.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd huff and he'd puff.
And he blew the house down.
Because only the brick houses stood.
And they were leaning on each other as well, because there was no building regs. And, you know, hello. Mm. Did they ever learn from that exercise? Yes, they did.
Yep.
So there we are. And on the 6th of September 1620, not that far removed from 1666, but a little bit earlier, the good ship Mayflower departed from the English town of Plymouth on their way to the New World. And they were pilgrims.
The Plymouth Brethren.
Yes.
And they went across to America. Because
Did they need to leave?
Well, because they were of a certain religious sect, they were being persecuted because they weren't Church of England at the time. They weren't Protestants. Well, they were Protestants, but they were not the Church of England. They were called the Plymouth Brethren.
I'm biting my tongue about these church people.
Yes.
Nothing but trouble.
Anyhow,
they went.
And they finished up landing in America and started the American country. And that's why they have all these strange religious things in America, because they're allowed to, because that was
big,
why they
were. A tall guy was waiting for them arriving, named John Wayne. And he said, "Welcome, pilgrim."
I guess one group that never selected them, wish they never arrived, was the Toikies.
Well, they don't complain about it. You mention their name and all you go gobble gobble and say, okay.
Time for us to go. Lovely to have had you with us today. See you next week.
Thank you for all your messages.
And we'll have an extra voice next week.
Yes, we will.
We'll have David with us.
David is going to take over from Chris, because Chris is going to be away for a little while.
Yes, I'm going on Holly's. So
we're not going to take over from him.
You know, we're going to play musical chairs.
Yeah, just a replacement body.
That's right. So, a renter Chris.
So we'll see you next week. So thanks very much.
Bye.
All the best. Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.